Margaret, you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. So when you were in Jordan, you're a committed Christian, when you were in Jordan and Syria, how did you express your religion? Was it just a private matter, or was it something that you were upfront about?
Yes, always upfront about it. It's actually easy in countries like Jordan and Syria, because with Syria they have a great respect for Christian people. The 10% of the population in Syria are Christian, 5% in Jordan. The Muslim people in general, they like to talk about God, so they inevitably ask me. They just assume, because I'm Western, that I'm Christian. And, you know, when you meet people, Jordanians, Syrians, they will eventually say, "You are Messiah, you are Christian." And you say yes, and you talk about spiritual things. It's very easy there. So, but in Syria, there's such a respect there for the Christian people and for Christian holy sites and things that it's very easy to be Christian there and to talk with locals, not just with Christians, of course, but with other groups about your Christian faith, about your faith in God, and they talk to you about theirs. And
yeah. It must hurt you terribly to see not just the suffering of the whole of the Syrian population, but the particular suffering of the Christian community, and the world's quiet about it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. This doesn't, get talked about in the West a great deal, but these Islamist groups, as they have done in Iraq, target the Christians in Syria. So, a lot of the Christian villages have suffered at the hands of these particular rebel groups that want the Christians out of everywhere. And so we've seen examples of the Syrian government troops, so maligned in the West actually, in their trying to protect Christian villages from these terrorist groups and liberate. So where I'm thinking, liberate these towns from...
Liberate is used in different senses,
yes,
isn't it?
That's right. But, Christian villages that have been taken over by these groups, and where the people have been killed and persecuted, there have been massacres of Christian civilians, with large numbers in a day just killed and massacred, and mass burials and things like that. So it's not just, a few. It's a target, a targeted attack on Christian people coming from these mainly outside groups. And the government troops are attempting to liberate these towns because they see the Christian people as Syrian. They don't... as Syrians, they're protecting everyone. Syrian Christians, Syrian Muslims, Syrian Alawite, they're protecting the Syrian people. Mm.
What about the atrocities? Because most people have a closed mind, I suppose, to this side of things, because they think, well, the regime has committed atrocities and they're unforgivable. And so you just shut out any information which might make you sympathetic to a regime that's committed atrocities. What's your response to those atrocity stories?
Well, two things. You have to be careful when you're hearing about atrocities as to which side you're attributing them to, because a lot of the propaganda saying that, certain things are committed by the government, and I'm not saying that there's not atrocities on both sides or things... define the word atrocities. In a civil war, people are going to be killed. In a civil war, civilians will be killed. Civilians get caught in the crossfire, will be killed by both sides. But... a lot of these horrific stories you hear of people being tortured and in terrible ways and beheaded and all that sort of thing they're happening in these border areas by these particularly aggressive rebel groups. The atrocity of the recently in August in Damascus there, where there was an alleged chemical attack. I was very, it was very interesting to me that all the investigation going on was to prove that this was a chemical weapons attack. But the assumption was always there that it was the Assad regime who had committed it. And for me, it wasn't, the most important thing wasn't just to prove that it was a chemical attack, but to be open-minded as to who had committed it, because there's a lot of evidence that the rebel groups have chemical weapons. A lot of evidence, and there seemed to be no consideration by people outside of Syria that it may have been this other group. And that bothers me, because I think there's, a lot of groups, including the US, are determined to oust this particular regime, and so, they refuse to look at what is truly happening and seeing that, perhaps some of these groups that they're saying that they may provide arms to are actually committing horrific atrocities against the Syrian people, and they need to be looking at that.
Yeah, we have a mutual friend in Mother Agnes Mariam.
Yep, indeed.
And she has looked at the videos of the victims of that chemical attack, and many of the children, she's examined photos, and she suggested that some of those children could have been kidnapped from Latakia, or villages around Latakia, a couple of weeks beforehand. What's your response to her take on the chemical attack, so-called chemical attack? I mean, it probably was a chemical attack of some sort. We just don't know the reality of it, the facts.
Yeah. And I think that, that's where people need to be at, really, just being open to who could have committed that and not just assuming that it's one side doing that. But I would say to people, there is a lot of evidence that the rebel groups had a lot more to gain from staging this than the government had from. The government were really making headway there in getting control of these areas, so there was little to be gained in chemical attack on an area that they know would immediately get a response from the West. And of course it was known that it would get a response from the West because President Obama had said this, that was the line that if that was crossed,
the red line,
the use of chemical weapons, then they would intervene. When you say things like that, then you're opening the door for radical groups who have no compunction about killing civilian people to get what they want, to stage something to get the West to intervene. So I think people need to be open to that, that these things can be staged, and we can just be gullible about being hauled into that is all, the government has done this, because there are a lot of things about that. Yeah, I think the fact that there has been questioned, not only from Mother Agnes, but other people are beginning to question, independent people are beginning to question that those videos were, where did all those children come from in one place, and where are the parents? And
well, even the CIA, or people from the CIA, or intelligence, US intelligence experts, I think retired ones, perhaps not ones that are currently working for the CIA or intelligence, but they've challenged the mainstream view and the American government view.
Yeah, and I think it has gone a little quiet, I've noticed, in the last month or two, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why they're beginning to see that it's not all as it seems.
But if it was the rebels that committed that, if they were children that had been kidnapped from those villages, and I believe that that's the truth, I'm prepared to accept that that's the truth, it's just an extraordinary truth. And if that was in our newspapers, that would change the whole view of the Syrian war in people's minds.
Yes, indeed. And it's understanding the mindset of certain groups and how they operate. I can remember Muslim friends in Jordan saying that when there was issues with Lebanon and Israel and the Hezbollah in Lebanon, making the comment that they knew that radical Muslim groups used civilians and children and schools as shields. They deliberately put themselves and their weapon stockpiles in places where there were civilians and children, and that if Israel or whatever group attacked, then they're immediately accusing them of attacking children. And these Muslim friends in Jordan actually said that they knew that this was happening and it was wrong. And but that was the way that radical groups operate. They see that, you know, it's an acceptable sacrifice to use civilian deaths to get what they believe, to get their result, what they want, to get power and control, and so they're an acceptable loss, acceptable sacrifice. And so I don't think it's... I mean, to us it's a horrific thing to capture children and kill them and then to stage something to get what you want, but it's happened before. There's been precedents for this before. And, you know, for these groups it's an acceptable sacrifice. They would do it.
I think what's happening is that we've all got a Muslim friend or we've all got a friend that's connected here or there, mm-hmm. and they're telling us one story or another. And or we've got these people in front of us and we're accepting those stories instead of thinking for ourselves and doing our own research. Because if somebody seems to be an expert, mm-hmm. seems to have that direct contact with the country, you're prepared to believe them when you know nothing. And that's so tempting, but there's so much that has to be known and mm-hmm. so many stories. That's been a problem in finding out about Syria. Mm-hmm. What's the truth?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the problem for the whole Middle East, I think. Mm-hmm. What's the truth? And mm-hmm. you have to investigate, and not stop that yes. research.
Yes, I think that's really important, and that's why I don't support military intervention from countries outside of Syria in Syria, because I think we don't know, you know, exactly what is happening there. And so to support one group or the other is very dangerous.
But you should know war is a crime.
Yes.
We work towards peace.
Exactly. And so with military intervention, we're just hurting the Syrian people even more. Our focus should be reconciliation, working towards a peaceful resolution in Syria. And I think it can happen. They're going to have trouble with these outside terrorist groups there. In there now, because they don't generally compromise or dialogue, and I think they've already intimated that. But I think the government will. President Assad has intimated that he would dialogue with the Syrian rebel groups, and I think some of these groups will as well. And I think we need to support that for the good of the Syrian people.
And dialogue with the internal opposition that don't support the army.
That's right, yeah.
Of the militarisation of the opposition. There are many internal opposition groups that don't believe in an armed revolution.
That's right.
They need to have a voice as well.
Yes, that's right, because they're getting lost in all this, where the civil war is really, we're looking at the military conflict that's going on with the groups that are actually taking up arms. But there are a lot of groups in Syria who don't want military conflict and want a dialogue where the Syrian people can come together and decide what they want for their country. And
before the country's destroyed.
Before the country's destroyed, that's right. And I think people need to be aware that, you know, President Assad has intimated that he would be willing to do that. And again, you know, people are often sceptical about that. But I think if the offer has been made, and there has been since last year, we should, you know, support that. If he's saying he's willing to dialogue, then let's work towards that. Yeah.
Definitely.